Angel 95, and we are with the Kingdom Factor again today. Mark Queen's here to talk about some good business principles. We talked about crucial talks last time and some lessons that we can share with others who've experienced similar type situations. And Mark, what do you want to tackle today?
You know, I want to tackle, a crucial talk happens in one of those three ways. One of them is a crucial conversation, one of them is godly counsel, and the other one is lessons. And so today, I want to further talk about more samples of what can we do inside of our tribes when we're there. And, you know, I'm going to bring up one of my issues that I had to deal with one time. My wife and I, it started with me. We took a Sunday school class, really a book study one year about Lenten studies.
Okay.
And to summarize the study that we took, it actually challenged you that some people in their faith, they'll give something up for Lent. Mm-hmm. But this study actually challenged you and said, if you're giving up something out of your life in honor of Christ, you also have the opportunity to put something in its place. And so after we did that study that year and we lived through that Lent, the next year came around and I made the decision. I challenged my wife and I said, hey, do you want to do that thing? Mm-hmm. And she said, yeah. So we had to wrestle with what did we want to do. And I felt in my prayer life that it wasn't as strong as I wanted. I just wanted to connect better through prayer. Mm-hmm. And so during the reflection process prior to Lent, I finally wrestled with the objective that what I wanted to do is I wanted to write 3 prayers a day.
Well, okay.
I thought, hey, that'd be a good way for me to connect. I'm not a writer, mm-hmm. supposedly. And so I thought, that'd just be a good way for me to pray. And I'll pray to Christ. I'll pray to the Holy Spirit. And I'd pray to God mm-hmm. and in the Trinity. And I wrote that out. And man, I'm going to tell you, for Lent, when Sunday came, because you're not, Sunday is the excuse. You get to break.
Right.
You're
out
for Lent, right? So, yeah. But man, it was so powerful. I didn't want to stop. So I even wrote my prayers out on Sunday. And I got done. And that was moving. It was like, I want to keep doing this. This is powerful for me. I feel like I'm connected and getting mm-hmm. closer to Christ by doing it. But I thought, okay, at the end of Lent, you really think you could write 3 prayers a day every day for the rest of the year? And the answer was, I ain't got time for that. We got companies we own, right? Mm-hmm. So I decided what I would do is I would continue to write 3 prayers a day. And I don't remember how I got to this number, but it was like 429. I was gonna do it for 103 days or something. I don't remember the math, but I said, I'm gonna do this, and that's gonna get me to the end of the year, like to the last quarter. Mm-hmm. And so I did. I'm writing down 3 prayers a day. And then one day the Holy Spirit nudged me and I looked up at the stack of loose leaf paper that I had on my desk mm-hmm. and I threw it in my briefcase. I said, I don't know why I'm doing that. Well, I wound up that day in a CPA office and I'm having a meeting with the CPA about one of her clients. And we get to the end of the meeting and we start talking about faith. And I said, how you doing? You know, are you getting to worship enough? Are you feeling connected? And she said, you know, I'm not really feeling connected. I feel like my prayer life is kind of broken. Mm-hmm. And I went, oh, that's why the Holy Spirit nudged me. And I reached into my case. And as I did that, the person said, I just don't know what to pray for. Mm-hmm. I want to pray, but I don't know what to pray for. Mm-hmm. So I pulled out this wad of papers mm-hmm. and I handed it to her. And she looked at it and she saw that it was handwritten. And she said, what is this? And I said, well, those are prayers. That's 30 days worth of writing 3 prayers a day. That's 90 prayers. I don't ever want to see them back. I said, they're yours. And next time you want to pray and you don't know what to pray for, maybe you throw them in the air and you grab one and you can just offer that up. Mm-hmm. And God began to move in my life by writing those prayers. So I get to the end of the year and basically made the decision that the following year I was going to write every single day. I committed to do that. And I thought, okay, well, what's the format? If I'm going to do this every day, give me a format. And so what I decided to do was I was going to read the Bible I read through the Bible every year. I was going to do the same thing that year. And I was going to move with the concept that the Holy Spirit might speak to me by what I read in the Bible that day. And I'm going to write it as a devotion. I'm going to write it to an entrepreneur or a leader in the commercial world. I'm going to write a paragraph about a topic. Maybe it was time management. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to write to that leader, and then I was going to write to us as a Christian, and then close it with a prayer. So I did that every day. Well, did that for a full year. Then the following year, I forwarded those writings, because actually it's not fair to say I wrote them. I thumbed them. I did all that on my phone.
Yeah.
So I think my thumbs might have arthritis because of that ear, right? Yeah. But the following of that, I actually forwarded them to my wife. She edited them, and then we posted them on the YouVersion Bible app and began to connect with some people that they were meaningful. I began to share them with people in meetings, and they were having, the Holy Spirit was moving through them. And then eventually we thought, maybe they're a book. And so we designed, well, how would we publish it? What would we want it to do? So we actually came up with seven topics that we thought were good topics, topics of leadership. I should say themes. Leadership, Sabbath, because we struggle with Sabbath as entrepreneurs. What about accountability? What about team building, being inspired, or attitude? We came up with seven categories. And then over several more years, we actually broke all the devotions down, put them into different categories, and we thought, you know what, we have a book. And then COVID hit. And I don't need them to be in a book. I wrote them. They have meaning to me. But I thought, okay, maybe they'll have meaning to somebody else. So this is kind of a black sheep project that's laying around. And so I actually took to the tribe. And I said, I want to talk, my godly counsel this month is I want to talk about, should this be a book? And I'll never forget, my tribe members, one of them said, well, if they've made a difference in people's lives, then don't you think it will make a difference in more people's lives if it's published? And I had to say yes to that. One of the members said that it's pretty easy to self-publish, and they questioned about what I knew about that, and they must, they might have had 15 different questions they asked me about self-publishing. One of them talked about being able to market the book, or what's the purpose? This was probably the most powerful question. Why would I want the book published? And that crucial conversation that day, starting with why, is almost always a really good thing to do. And so I began to wrestle with, why would we publish the book? And the reason why we actually did go through the process of hiring some people and to publish the book wasn't published to create revenue for us. The book was published because we believe that there are lukewarm Christians and non-believers who want to grow their enterprise.
Right.
Well, if you want to grow your enterprise, what if you could read a daily lesson about how to grow your company? I mean, does leadership apply inside of a company? The answer is yes. Does accountability apply inside of a company? Yes. What about attitude? Does that apply to your company and your team members? Yes. What about hitting limits with your team members and yourself? Yes, it applies. So the reason why we decided to publish the book is that although it's a daily devotional, we believe that there are going to be secular leaders that the book is going to get in their hand, and they're going to read that first paragraph, which is written directly to them, and they're going to think about, well, how does faith, how does faith apply to time management? It can't possibly, or they're going to think, oh, the Christians that I know, they would never think about this. And they're going to read that second paragraph, and they're going to go, wait a minute. And they're going to read that second paragraph more and more, and that the Holy Spirit is going to work on their heart, and they're going to come to Christ by experiencing that second paragraph, because it's not judgmental. It's simply trying to relate, okay, how does time management apply in your business world, and how does time management apply in your life as a Christian? If we're truly being a steward of our time, then are we using our time the way God wants us to use our time? And so the tribe actually helped me by pouring in, if you will, through a crucial talk. They help us actually pull the trigger and spend the capital to go publish the book and make it available. So you can find it out on Amazon today.
That's awesome. Well, and again, the nice thing about Kingdom Factor is that you realize that, you know, your problems are probably quite common to everybody else in the group in some way or another. They face the problem, and you know, hey, maybe they got some advice that they can lend your way.
Absolutely. I mean, through that episode, through that crucial talk that happened that day, I know everybody in our tribe, whether they want to publish a book or not, if they ever want to, they probably have the first five steps already handled. They know what they need to do. And nobody in the group is prescribing that everybody should go write a book.
Right.
No.
No.
They just know that if they wanted to, they've got background of how to do it. And even if they're not going to do it in their life, they now are more equipped to be able to talk about it with other people, to say, oh, well, yeah, I know the basic things to start that project. And oh, by the way, they'd be happy to say, hey, if you wanted to call Mark Queen and talk to him about how to publish, you could. He'd certainly be willing to help, right? Because we're living life as a community. We are the people. We are the church, right? The church is not a building. The church is the people. And we're forming a community that rely and trust on one another. So the lessons that we share are absolutely important for us.
What we mean, I think, is, hey, this happened to me, but nobody else really cares. There are a lot of the people who care if you just share the story.
Yeah, you know, and especially when we talk about when we're broken, right? When we fail, we'll try to suppress that failure. But the reality, you know what the difference is between an expense and an investment?
What's the difference?
We like to look at expense as something that you incur and that you no longer benefit from it after the life of the item that you bought has worn out. So if you go buy a shirt today and you wear that shirt for 5 years before it's worn out and tattered and stained and all that, that shirt was an expense. We view mistakes on our team. We view mistakes as investments because we, inside of our company, we encourage one another. We have to share our failures. Because if I can share that I failed today with the way that I handled an ink pen, that by me sharing that with the rest of our team, they won't have that same failure, or they'll experience it less, or the damage that can be caused by spilling a pen will be less for the next person. So we turn failures in our company into investments by openly sharing them. That's not common.
No.
But when we talk about that, inside of your tribe, when you bring this out, somebody else is like, holy cow, I don't want somebody pushing the wrong button on the manufacturing line. And the reason that they pushed the wrong button is because they had the coffee cup in the wrong place. Yeah. We never realized there was a wrong place for a coffee cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And now because you have these talks about other people's life experiences, even if they're in different industries, that we can relate to them because we're entrepreneurs.
And we mentioned it in the past shows, but the nice thing about the tribes is that there's nobody else in a direct line of your type of business.
So, right, There are peer groups out there. Matter of fact, I had an interview earlier this morning with somebody that is in a peer group. So in their industry, let's just think lumberyard. They might line up a couple of times a year with other lumberyard owners. Yeah. Well, what are they going to talk about? They're going to talk about lumber yard problems. You know, I asked this person, I said, what are your three problems you're battling right now? And one of them was definitely, it was a supply chain problem.
Yeah, right.
And I guarantee you, your radio station does not have the supply chain problem that a lumber yard has.
Right.
You're not getting 2x4s delivered to the radio station every single week, right?
Yeah.
And so we all have supply chain problems. We don't have the same supply chain problem.
Mine would be with audio. I mean, because we download a lot of audio, and that's the system we use. Back in the day, there was satellite, and before that, there were people walking to the studio. But now it's like, I didn't get this program this week, you know? Why did that happen, you know? Is internet down or what, you know?
Absolutely. And, and when you say internet down, does every entrepreneur relate to the internet being down?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely, but it affects the business differently, right?
Right.
And so you might have five blind sides that you don't pay attention to when the internet goes down because you got a signal that's got to get out there via internet, right?
Right.
And so wait a minute. You're going to be focused on that signal going out and you have a blind spot to the other five things that will happen because you don't have internet.
Right.
And so if another entrepreneur, because of the crucial talk, is able to come and say, Well, you know, if you can't get online, then you probably don't have access to QuickBooks.
Yeah.
If you're down offline for the whole day, then you may not have invoices going out.
Yeah.
If you're down the whole day, you may not have deposits going into the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you have these other perspectives that allow you to go, oh my gosh, one of those is a really big issue for me, and I had a blind spot to it.
Right, yeah. And then you have other issues like storms that come in the way. This winter has been a real case of it, you know, where, well, I need to put money in the bank, but I can't get over there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
you need the internet.
So we can see that peer groups are valuable, but the other issue that really comes with peer groups, I have not met anybody yet that has a Christian-based peer group. So they're industry-based, if you will. Let's just think lumberyard peer group.
Right.
Well, what's the key thing that brings them together? Lumberyard.
Right, yeah.
Our tribes are gathering because we are trying to have a kingdom impact with our businesses. So we are Christians that are gathering, and therefore we know that we're getting a godly counsel of wisdom first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
That the people in the tribe are not going to be sitting down and saying, oh, well, you know, maybe you need to go over and cut the legs from underneath your competitor, because that's not what God would have you to do.
No.
So we're going to have godly advice pouring into one another from these different perspectives, all through godly wisdom, that everybody is able to relate to and bring a different perspective, which brings value.
Well, tell them, you know, we try to include in each show about how to get involved. If there's a tribe out there for them, maybe there's somebody already of their persuasion, whatever it is they do, how they might get started in another tribe.
Well, the best way to get started in a tribe is go to the website, www.corescore.net. That's core like in an apple core. Score like the score of the baseball game, www.corescore.net. Inside of that website, you're going to find one-on-one navigation, and you're going to find tribes, the peer-to-peer model, which talks about all the different things that we do inside of a tribe. Obviously, you'll be able to see the contact information there. You can fill out the contact card, and we'll get a hold of you and talk to you and figure out if a tribe is the right fit for you and whether we have to start a tribe around you or whether there's one already open in your area and we might be able to fit you into that.
Awesome. Kingdom Factor. And we're here regularly with talks here with Mark Queen here. And a reminder that our interviews are also online at angel95fm.com. So you can go to our radio station page and check out a recent interview and maybe get some godly counsel without actually being part of the tribe yet. But you can get some godly counsel there.
Yeah, we're excited that because, you know, Jerry, we need to remember at the end of the day, just because you're an entrepreneur doesn't mean you have to do it by yourself.